What can we take from this performance?
Keep up to date with the latest WSL action and the biggest interviews.
How much she enjoyed that goal, a little bit too much in terms of... I was a big fan of the Ronaldo celebration.
Subscribe to the Koi Gig podcast stream on the OTB Sports app now.
OTB AM.
With Gillette, we don't just play the game, we change it. Gillette, made of what matters.
Right, up next we are speaking to John Stiles, son of Nobby Stiles, about the campaign by families of former footballers for the PFA to provide greater supports. Last week, he issued this video appeal.
12 months ago, we released this video.
My name is John Stiles. My dad was Nobby Stiles. I'm making this plea to the PFA Union and the trustees of the PFA charity. It is on behalf of the older players and their families. They need urgent help now. The past is gone. We cannot change that. But you can act now to help the families. You have the resources to help. This is a small sample of what is happening to many football families all over the country. Please see the video and please help now. Thank you.
Hiya, I'm Natalie Parks Thompson. My dad's Mr. Blackburn Rovers, Tony Parks. He was diagnosed last year with Alzheimer's after a long battle to get the diagnosis. But we're now at that crossroads where his behaviours have got worse. He's degenerated a lot over the course of this year. I don't know what I'm going to do.
I'm Wendy, the wife of Brendan Ormsby, who 7 years ago suffered a severe stroke. Since then, he is now developing memory loss, understanding problems. We would love it to go back to how it was, but unfortunately we can't. So all we're asking for now is some help. As we're caring, we'd like you to care.
Hello, my name's Dani Robson and I'm sat with my dad, Jimmy Robson. Up until a few years ago, my dad was healthy. Unfortunately, Alzheimer's has struck. He's deteriorated. He doesn't leave the house much. And as a family, we're finding it really hard, but we just need some more help. We need some help from the PFA to just support my dad. Don't we, Dad?
Yeah.
Yeah. So that, you know, we can help him more, we can do things. He's got people to help him and people to look after him. Because you're a treasure, aren't you?
Well, I'd like to think so.
Yeah. So we just want him to be supported. He's loved football all his life. He's followed football all his life. We just want football to give something back to him.
12 months later, these families still need help. Once again, I ask the PFA and the trustees of the PFA charity to please give these families the help they desperately need. Thank you.
John Stiles, a very good morning. You're welcome to the show.
Good morning.
So 12 months on from releasing that video, how much do you feel has changed and how much of a reaction initially to that video 12 months ago did you get?
There was a big reaction. I don't know. There was lots of hits on Twitter and what have you. Just this time last year, the families were getting absolutely no help at all from the PFA. And then early this year, they set up a dementia department. So help was starting to be given out to some of the families. But it was only, so say, for example, they were having carers in at home. They'd be given some money to pay for the carers while they were at home. But as soon as they go into long-term healthcare, in other words, they're that poorly, they have to go into long-term healthcare, that stops and they get absolutely nothing. And to me, that's a disgrace.
Was there any reaction from the PFA, any response from them last year?
Well, not directly to me, but there'd been a big campaign. Chris Sutton, obviously, Dawn Astle's been campaigning a long time. I got involved and then this decided to set up this dementia branch. And which is fine, which is they're helping people at home, maybe, you know, give some money for carers. But my big thing is, if you accept that heading the ball has caused this damage, which I believe it has, and this is why all these men are so poorly, surely the biggest thing they've got to sort out is long-term residential care. And I can't name the families, but I know a couple of families who've pleaded for help recently, and they've heard nothing back. So that's why we re-released the video. I think it got 80,000 hits. I don't understand all this technology, really, but these families are really desperate and they really need help. And football should be looking after them. It shouldn't just be the PFA. It should be the FA and all the rest of it. But the first port of call is the PFA. And they've got over £50 million in the PFA charity.
John, why do you think there is any reluctance on the part of the PFA and the FA at the moment? Because it seems like it's a a very simple, straightforward win for them. And certainly it's the type of thing that they could ring fence money from the Premier League for. You know, we're reading so much about the pyramid at the moment and the future of football in England and how the Premier League is going to have to support the football pyramid and the Super League is going to be stopped. One very easy thing for them to do would be to say, OK, we're going to get the money to fix this.
Well, I think it's going to be a massive problem. I think there's many hundreds of players who are suffering. So in the long run, the PFA probably won't be able to cover all the costs because it's very expensive. But this could make a start. And to me, football has fortunes in it. And it's a tricky situation. If you've got a union where the subs from the players don't actually cover all the expenses and you're reliant on the money from the Premier League, the £30 million a year, that then becomes a complicated situation. But I don't really understand all the mechanics of that, but that just seems to be a tricky situation. I don't see why, with all this money washing about, they can't. I think it's £1.6 billion a year they get into football. I don't understand why a small portion of that can't be allocated to these players. To me, the Willie Stewart studies a massive evidence that heading the ball is what's caused the damage to these players. And they should just do it. They should just do it and get on with it. But they won't. And it's very frustrating. And it's very, very upsetting when I speak to families and I can hear in their voices how desperate they are.
I can only imagine that it's frustrating for you for a number of different reasons, because you've actually lived this. You've seen this. Your dad's situation, and I know Willie Stewart analysed your dad's situation. The CTE that he had was one of the most egregious examples. And I think you guys figured out that your dad must have headed the ball between 80,000 and 100,000 times.
There or thereabouts. I mean, we did donate Dad's brain. It was a difficult decision, but my mum was brave enough to do it. She didn't want anybody, if it could help stop somebody else suffering like Dad did, we'd do it. And Dad's brain was riddled with CTE. But as in most cases, he was actually diagnosed with Alzheimer's and vascular dementia. It wasn't the case. It's not rocket science. Your brain's a piece of jelly in a hard casing. If you jolt that severely 70 to 100,000 times, there's going to be an effect. It's as obvious as smoking and lung cancer to me. But they'll resist and they'll resist and they'll try not to do it. But sooner or later, they're going to have to accept it.
And by accept it, you mean you think that they should ban heading of the football totally?
I'm a football fan. I'm not advocating banning heading, but I've started going out recently, giving out. Last week, I went to a football club, Doncaster Rovers, my original club, one of my last clubs, and I started giving out leaflets to players because, as far as I'm aware, the current players have never had one piece of literature explaining the dangers of heading the ball. At least they should be informed, so then they can make their own choices. But I didn't know when I was playing, and Chris Sutton, spoke to him a while ago, I heard him interviewed, he said that if he'd have known that the risk was there, because his father died with dementia from after playing football, he wouldn't have headed the ball as much in training. And nothing's been done. I mean, this latest thing, you know, you can only have 10 high-impact headers a week. It's ridiculous. They've just pulled that out of the air from nowhere. They've not consulted Willie Stewart or anything. It's just fobbing everything off. They don't want to accept that this is a massive, massive problem in football. Football's the only sport where your head is used to propel an object. It's the only sport. And to me, it's just blatantly obvious.
What measures would you like to see introduced? Or is it about just actually finding out what the science says and then using the science as the guideline, as opposed to, as you say, plucking stuff out of thin air?
Well, we've got the science. I mean, Willie Stewart's done two studies. And the last one, the first one established that footballers were three times more likely to get dementia. And then the second one was, depending on your position, i.e. a centre forward or a centre half, a defender who headed the ball lots, and the length of your career, you were five times more likely to get dementia. So the authorities have been hiding behind, we need more studies, we need more studies. For me, the evidence is there. And I'm going to try and warn these players, the current players, of the dangers, because nobody else is going to do it.
What's the reception like from the current players when you speak to them, John?
But I've only done one club, to be honest with you, and I gave some leaflets out to the players, and the players were great. They thanked me and all the rest of it. Then I was ejected from the premises. I went outside, waved a few cars down, given the leaflets. They were all very polite. They're just good young lads, you know, want to play football. And then the last car said to me, I'm sorry, we've been told we can't speak to you anymore.
Why was that? Why, did they give you any reason or any reason that they were given for why they couldn't speak to you?
Well, I never got that far. The clubs probably don't want to hear it. I have now written to every single one of the 92 league clubs and the all women's Super League clubs asking if I can come and talk to them about the risks of heading. I've had a couple of responses asking for more information, and I'll deal with that, shortly. But this is the big dark secret in football about heading the ball. There's just so many examples. We've got scientific evidence of Willie Stewart, and obviously I've got personal evidence with my dad and his brain. And it's just something that I won't stop campaigning about. This needs to be. I'm not saying ban heading from football, but 20 years ago, a coroner said that heading the ball killed Jeff Astle. That should have been enough for the speech, a big reaction. There was nothing. So it's just not right, and it needs sorting out. And these families, all these ex-players, when they need the real help, which is the long-term care, they've been abandoned.
What's next for your campaign, John? How do you keep this going? Where do you take it to?
Well, this morning I'm going out leafleting at a football club to give the players some more leaflets. As I say, I've written to all the clubs. I should be going to other clubs to give out leaflets try and make everybody aware of the situation. At least if the players have got the information about the real dangers, then they can make a choice. Like, for example, boxers do. Then if they say, well, yes, I know I'm going to get damaged and it's up to me, then that's up to them. But at least they should be informed. They should be told that if you go out and head the ball 30, 40 times a day, 3 days a week, over 10 to 15 years, there's a very good chance you're going to get CTE.
John, I've one last question for you. These leaflets you're talking about, you've got them printed yourself. This isn't, you're not a representative of any other organisation.
No.
Shouldn't it be the PFA doing this, though? Should they be the ones like looking after their workers? It's kind of like, if you're actually a proper union looking after your own members, you don't limpet like suck to the organisation that's actually not looking after the players. You're supposed to be protecting them. You should be giving them the information.
Well, they've got the information. I can't speak for them. I can't. I just know that I have to do this, because if I don't do this and I don't try and make these players aware, I won't be able to live with myself.
John, if we're having a conversation again in 12 months' time, where do you want this conversation to be? I guess because it seems that in the space of the 12 months since you've initially released this video, I guess there is a depressing predictability about the lack of movement from the powers that be in the sport. So what would you like to see happen over the next year?
Well, there has been a call by the new CEO to the authorities to get a fund together, although whilst requesting that fund, it was specifically said that it excluded long-term healthcare. So how can you ask for help and then when the real help's needed, say it's excluded? That to me is ridiculous. What I would like in 12 months' time is to be a large fund established to help the families who are in real need in long-term healthcare. I'd also like to the players, every player, to know the risks, i.e., that they're between 3 and 5 times more likely to develop early onset dementia, not just dementia, early onset. The players start in the late 50s, early 60s. So I'd like them to be aware, and I'd like the fund to be created, and I'd like to see if there's some help for players like me where the damage is already done, if there's anything that can be done for us before we develop symptoms.
Look,
go for it, Jer.
On a personal level, you must have that similar concern. You played football for a long time, you know, you played for Shamrock Rovers in Ireland. Like, you must have a concern that this is part of your future as well.
I absolutely do. And I spoke to a lot of players recently. you know, from all levels, and a couple of Republic of Ireland internationals. And they said to me, I'm terrified. I got asked from one of them, can I have a test? I said, well, there's no real tests about at the minute. You can go to the doctor and to see if you've got dementia, but there's no real tests to look at the brain. I think that's now changing. I think there's a couple of opportunities for players to have cognitive tests and all the rest of it. But players are terrified. I was at a function last week with two or three ex-players, centre-forward, centre-halves. I said, every day I forget something. I think, oh, has it started? Because once it starts, it only gets worse. It's effectively a terminal brain disease. That's what it is. And yes, I'm worried. Although I spent a lot of my career on the bench. I think a lot of players are very, very concerned, especially getting into their late 50s, early 60s.
Because while you say there that maybe it's not as huge a topic in the current playing group, it does seem from what you're saying there that within retired footballers, footballers in their 50s or older, it becomes a real concern for those players, for those former players.
Yeah, it does. But see, players have never been made aware of this. Never. I mean, my dad used to go to 66 reunions with all the lads, and they'd never talk about it. The last thing they want to talk about is getting dementia. But they've never been given the information, and this is my point. Players have never, ever been given information, and it's only the fact that so many of the old players are coming down with dementia that it's getting a profile with the other players who are in the late 50s, early 60s. Players younger than that probably aren't even talking about it, or ex-players. So this awareness, it needs to be brought out, because in my opinion it's a massive sporting scandal that it's not been recognised, and it's blatantly obvious to me.
And John, you said you're going to another football club this week. Is it like, yeah, you don't expect a similar reaction to the one you got at Doncaster Rovers, do you?
I really don't know. And I don't care, really.
I'm
just going to do my best. I've written to the clubs. The ones who write back, I will communicate and try and get into a situation where I can inform the players. But it's not something the clubs really want to hear, I don't think. But it's there, and it's not going away. So I'll probably get the same reaction. But I'm not bothered. I just want to try and make these players aware of the risks, so at least they can make an informed decision. 20 years ago, Jeff Astor was diagnosed. Since then, all of the players in that time have been uninformed and unprotected. And for a lot of them, the damage is already done. So I want to stop that if I can, and I'll do everything I can to stop it.
Listen, John, it's been great chatting to you. You're doing absolutely fantastic work. Thanks a million for your time this morning.
It's a pleasure. Thank you.
Cheers. John Stiles there, son of Nobby Stiles, with us on OTB AM.
OTB AM.
With Gillette, we don't just play the game, we change it. Gillette, made of what matters.